two shakes of a lamb's tail or something like that?
To the moped store, said fuck it. The salesman's like, what up, what's your budget? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know nothing about mopeds. He said,
I got the one for you, follow me.
Ooh, it's too real. Chromed out mirror, I don't need a windshield. Banana seat, a canopy on two wheels. 800 cash, that's a hell of a deal. I'm headed
downtown, cruising through the alley, tiptoeing in the street like ballet. Pulled up, moped to the valet. White walls on the wheels like mayonnaise. Dope, my crew is ill, and all we need is two good wheels. Got cash in the tank, cash in the bank, and a bad little mama with her ass in my face. I'ma lick that, stick that, break her off, kick cash, snuck her in backstage. You don't need a wristband, dope.
It's Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. Episode 053. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, is my good friend Joe. Joe, let me be the first to say to you, Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. You know, that was very high on the top of my list of things to celebrate today.
And yes.
Fact, you'll also note that I sent you a few Pride-related clips earlier this week.
You did.
An opportunity.
And I apologize that I didn't get to them, but we've got all month to do it. So
exactly.
the funny thing is about you know I mean, 5 years ago it was Pride. What is the Pride represent? It used to be the gay and lesbian community. Now it's move on over, gay and lesbos. You got to share this month with the G's, the T's, the Q's, the R's, whatever, the trans, whatever they are.
Yeah, I think the trans are running the board.
I would agree for sure, man. For
in
sure.
In fact, if you've been paying attention, I'm sure you've noted this as well, that the acronym just keeps on getting longer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've given up trying to keep track of it. It's become almost a parody of itself at this point.
Almost.
Yeah. I'm being kind.
Like, we know that it was like a LGBT, LGBTQQAAI plus.
Okay. That sounds about right. That sounds right.
Now, here's a question for you. What does intersex mean?
Tell me. I don't know.
Let me pull it back up. It is existing or occurring between the sexes. Selection or mate choice was to relating to or having the condition of being intermediate between male and female. Have you ever met someone that was intersex?
I don't think so.
I
don't know if this is the same thing, because it was kind of even hard for me to follow that description.
Yeah.
But I heard something this week. Somebody, they was talking about something where people could essentially just within the same conversation with you switch between. Decide that they're, I mean, just literally within the conversation, they could change how they identify multiple times. I don't know what that is. Is that the same thing, or
I'm not sure, but this is a question that deserves more investigation.
Maybe. Does it really though?
I mean, it seems as if it's one of those things that, like it or not, is here to stay, and so. You know, the smart people we are, we should probably get smart on it.
Fair enough. We're I'm getting ahead of myself. One second. Here we go.
Let me read it another definition, a better one.
Oh, okay.
Intersex people are individuals born with any of several variations of sex characteristics, including chromosomes, gonads, sex hormones, or genitals that, according to the Office of United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, don't fit the typical definition of male or female bodies. So I guess if you were like a hermaphrodite, you would be intersex. And I guess, I mean, yeah, if you woke up, if you were born and you looked down and you had a,
So this is actually based in science. This is a biological something. This is a biological thing that happens. Is that how you read it, as
this definition has put it, it is. But it's funny because so many of them have to do with how one identifies. And yeah. So actually, that might be something we should go on a deep dive. Like, you know, if you're so interested. Which ones of them are biologically based as opposed to which ones are how you identify. And what dawned on me is that, I guess in a way I could empathize a little bit in terms of I've never had to question how I identify, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if I woke up and I was like, yeah, I'm not sure. That would be hugely problematic, and I don't think I know how to proceed from there. Like, if you woke up one day, like, I mean, I assume that, and this is probably a pretty good assumption, that you've always identified as a man.
Correct.
Yeah, if you woke up one day and you're like, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
well, at the risk of, and this is no offense to anyone in any way, but some of these trans issues almost seem like they stem from like a psychological issue.
I also think that
kind of leads to why certain people would be like, we don't need to let these people in the organizations like the military, because they obviously have some other issues.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that the APA, the American Psychological Association, most of these things were, less than 50 years ago considered mental illnesses. They would have all had a place in the crazy book, so to speak.
Yeah, and I don't think that they should be put in crazy asylums or treated differently like that, but they should be. I think maybe they should be handled in more medical type ways. I don't know. I've probably just offended. Well, assuming that anyone cares about this issue, I've probably offended some people with that. But I don't know, man. It's
I'm sure what we deal in quite regularly is offensive.
Yeah. Anyway.
Motherfucker, give me two things.
What are you drinking tonight, Joe? What'd the bartender bring you?
I am having a Coke and a smile.
All right.
I'm trying to be good like Mr. Newman is.
Yeah, I'm just having some Pepsi.
Pepsi? Holy smoke. Mm. Now, you're not drinking that, like, Pepsi Free, or is it like a real actual Pepsi?
No, it's a Pepsi Zero.
Okay. I mean, we know our friends. Gotta let him for a minute. He's seen the light. No, he hasn't.
No, I did let myself. I didn't fall off the wagon. The reason there was no show last week, people may not know, I was on vacation last week and I was traveling, but I let myself, I did fall off the wagon pretty good this past weekend. So I didn't fall off, I jumped off. So
Were you dragged behind the wagon?
I felt like it the next morning. but it was. But I am back on the wagon now. So I feel pretty good about it. Actually, I was really kind of looking forward to it, introducing a lot of food that I haven't had for 5 months back into my diet in one weekend.
Oh, that sounded like a prescription for pain.
It could have been, yeah. But I was kind of looking forward to getting back onto my whatever kind of diet I'm on keto? Now. Yeah, keto or just diet? Yeah, just basically just low carb and high protein kind of stuff.
Yo, I had a run in with that, and that stuff is not. I mean, I don't know about you, but that low carb, high protein does not do well for my system.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had an explosively shitty situation.
Wow.
Yeah, and just take both of those terms in the most literal way you can apply them in this situation. You have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, I did. I'm figuratively picking up what you're laying down.
But yeah, wash your hands, man. Nasty.
Yeah. Well, moving on here. Do you have any Ahmaud Arbery updates for us? I did not look. I haven't looked.
I did look, and there doesn't seem to have been much in terms of any development that I can see in my cursory look. The only thing that, I mean, it seemed like everything that happened has been 4 weeks ago.
Right.
So
okay.
The last time we talked, the feds, they had started their case, right?
Yep.
And the only thing that's new that's happened is that a Georgia judge has set a trial date for October of this year, but that was, like I said, 4 weeks ago. And so, this seemed like one of those things, like it's crazy because if this wasn't on video, we could it's a pretty safe bet that these guys would still be chilling at home, free men.
Yep.
So, yeah, not much in terms of Mr. Arbery.
Okay. Well, I've got, you know, last time we spoke, one of our topics was the Israel Palestine conflict that's going on, and I admitted then, and I'll admit still to now, I'm not a big expert on that. I relied a lot on your knowledge.
And that may have been a mistake.
Well, I don't know. Not necessarily. You definitely know a lot more than I do. But I'll be honest. Not everything about our conversation settled well with me. Although, really, most places that I really looked, kind of, and I'm talking right, you know, right. It seems to be some common ground that the left and the right. Certain factions of it anyway seem to come together on is very, very much against Israel on this. But when our conversation ended, I mean, it was fine, I guess. I didn't really care, but it's not everything sat perfectly well with me, but I didn't really know why or what, but anyway, of all people, I don't know. I think I came across this last week, but of all people, Bill Maher discussed this on his show, I guess. And I was knowing Bill Maher, I was quite surprised by his take on things, but I mean, I got some clips for us to listen to. Each clip is about 2 minutes except for number four. I got four clips. The first three clips are about 2 minutes each. I had to break them up. I didn't want to sit there and listen to 6 minutes straight.
Before we go into this, a little bit, who's Bill Maher?
Huh?
Who's Bill Maher for those who don't know?
Oh, he's the, the Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yeah,
or
he used to run,
he used to have
TV, right?
Exactly. He was, he used to do Politically Incorrect. He's essentially, it seems like everybody nowadays gets their news from comedians. I mean, he may not be a comedian anymore, but he started out as a comedian.
He's a comedian.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to derail us on this, but I've been going through a movie kick of like, never mind. We'll talk about it off air. I don't think I want to put this on record.
Roll that beautiful Bill Maher footage.
All right, here we, this is, I don't know who the guy he's talking to, but I get the feeling that he's kind of pro Palestine on this, although he tries to come off as pretty moderate on it. Maybe he is, I don't know. But anyway, this is Maher on Gaza 1.
This was, after all, a war with Gaza. Thank God Israel treats its Arab citizens better than Egypt, Syria, or Saudi Arabia treat their Arab citizens. I didn't see much of that in the press, so I was glad to see you say it. Can you put some bones on that? Why do you say they treat their citizens better, their Arab citizens?
So, I mean, I also said a lot more. And clearly within Israel, then Arab citizens obviously vote. They can serve in the Knesset. They can be judges. Some of the most robust organizations speaking up for Palestinians are organizations like B'Tselem, the Human Rights Organization. That does not happen in Egypt, which obviously massacres Egyptians who support democracy. We've seen what happens in Syria. But I would also say that, I made that point for context. I think it's important to understand that that Israel at home truly is robust. But, I don't think that's a defense for Israel engaging in possible war crimes in Gaza engaging...
Well, Gaza fired 4,000 rockets into Israel. What would you say Israel should have done instead of what they did?
So
how could you not commit?
So, international lawyers are pretty clear that they have a right to defend themselves. They have a right to respond at military targets. But there was a sense that the response was probably a war crime because it did not sufficiently avoid civilian casualties.
But they purposely put the rockets in civilian places. That's their track.
Well, likewise, Israel's defense ministry is in a civilian area. I mean, both sides do this partly because they're crowded countries. I do think that Hamas particularly does this, and I think that's a war crime on the part of Hamas. And clearly, Hamas is engaging in war crimes when it shells.
War is a crime. I mean, it seems like a silly argument when people go to war. I mean, there are certain things that are beyond the pale. This seems like, it was a normal war. People die in war. It's a horrible thing.
So... I guess what I found interesting in that clip was how, if I had not heard that, I would have been under the impression, their point about Arabs, functioning and flourishing within Israel, that kind of surprised me. That's the reason I stuck that clip in there.
I don't think it's relevant.
May not be.
Right.
May not. I think this clip was the most important to me, I think.
I think the person he's speaking to is Nicholas Kristof.
Okay. Did you look it up, or you like know him from his voice, or what?
I looked it up.
Okay.
I looked up Bill Maher in Israel, and then it pulled up and him talking to Nicholas Kristof, and they made some of the they made reference to some of the that was in that clip. I wish I had good knew his voice.
All right. Well, here's the second one.
But I don't know how else you respond to when you are for it. I mean, what if Canada fired 20,000 rockets into America or Mexico, where, which is an even better analogy because we actually did steal the land from Mexico? I would submit that Israel did not steal anybody's land. This is another thing I've heard the last couple of weeks, words like occupiers and colonizers and apartheid, which I don't think people understand the history there. The Jews have been in that area of the world since about 1200 BC, way before the first Muslim or Arab walked the earth, 1,000 years before. I mean, Jerusalem was their capital. Okay, so if it's just about who got there first, it's not even close. There have been a continuous Jewish presence. Yes, the Jews were the ones who were occupied by everybody. The Romans took over at some point, and then the Persians and the Byzantines, and then the Ottomans. So, yes, there was colonization going on there. Beginning in the 19th century, they started to return to Palestine, which was never an Arab country. There was never a country called Palestine that was a distinct Arab country. And yes, there was a problem there because there was two people who wanted to share the land, which is why the UN in 1947 said, okay, we're going to partition it. We have the map. I want to show it. People forget what the map looked like. This is what was on the table at the beginning. The green is the part that the Arab population would have gotten. It's a good part of the country. It's the good part, a lot of it. Look what Israel has, a little sliver by the coast and the desert in the south. That second map is what Israel has today. Yes, it is a lot more. But doesn't it behoove the people who rejected the treat that the half a loaf and then continue attacked? Hamas's charter says they just want to wipe out Israel. Their negotiating position is you all die.
So I'm sorry about putting that sucks that you know, he was referencing something visual on the screen, but I couldn't find a good way to cut that out without putting things out of context. So it was just showing how it was just a map of I guess the way Israel was proposed to look at one point,
yeah,
and then the way compared to how it looks today.
I mean, I think that's what we just saw there was a good reason why people should not get their news from comedians.
Well, that's fine. Are you just going to dismiss everything that he said because he's a comedian?
No, I'm not going to dismiss it. I'll speak to it specifically. I mean, the fact that, you know, that Jewish people were there for, you know, for millennia, that's one thing. Let's go back to the analogy I used last week about, or 2 weeks ago about folks coming up in your house. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I wanted to revisit that as well. So let's go back to that.
In this example, as put forth by Mr. Marr, he says, okay, well, they've been there, right? Jews have been there. There's no doubt about that. But there hasn't been a Jewish state there. And once again, it would be like, a neighbor saying, you know what, Mr. Newman, your family has got to get up out of your house. Do it now. Why? Because I'm the United Neighbors, and you've got to go. And you know what? You don't have to get up out of it totally. Here's you can keep the living room and the first two bedrooms, but these other guys, you're going to get the dining room, the basement, and several other rooms in the house. And this should be a good idea. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I don't know that it's a completely accurate analogy, but I see what I see what you're saying.
And so to say that And this is the thing. It's like, so 1947, the UN, which was what, which came into existence, what, 2 to 3 years prior, what, 1945, 1946, thereabouts, after World War II, and basically, I don't think he's being totally charitable to both sides. I think he's pro. I mean, he's pro-Israel. There's, you know, that's his prerogative. But I don't think he should be spouting this stuff as fact when it's, you know, when there's a lot more gray area here.
I don't know that I'd accuse him of being in this instance. He may be pro-Israel, but I'll bet you that I could find tons and tons of clips of Bill Maher not being very pro-Israel.
Well, I mean, that probably, I mean, if you could, that's, you know, that probably speaks to, you know, the amount of crimes and horrendous actions that the Israelis have engaged in. And that you know, and it's not a hard thing to find examples of Israeli atrocities against the Palestinians. It's not a hard thing to find at all.
Fair enough. I think that goes both ways, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I, and mind you, I'm not saying that Israel is the bad guy and the other guys have totally clean hands. What I'm saying is that, you know, you've got two bad actors with competing claims as to who's worse. And I would say that in this latest incursion, when you have what, you know, 300 people dead on one side and 11 people dead on the other, it's pretty clear that, you know, we were being, you know, delicate and strategic as to how we, you know, released our munitions. And, you know, everybody, all the Palestinians who were killed were all human shields. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially when you consider the fact that Palestine's the, if I recall correctly, the most densely packed piece of land on earth.
I got one more here. I got, I'm not sure. I can't recall what they specifically talk about here. Let's find out together, shall we?
Sure.
I mean, there's a difference between defending Hamas, which I agree commits war crimes. And I would accept that. I think too often in liberal circles, there's been a tendency to ally the repression of Hamas, the homophobia of Hamas, the misogyny of Hamas. But that also does not excuse Israel ruling Palestinians in the West Bank, for example, without giving them any vote, taking water and giving it to settlers, and maybe most important, damaging any possibility down the road of creating a two-state solution. You know, how do we avoid a war when somebody is shelling, your neighbor is shelling you? That's hard. But what we can do is try to create a two-state solution 10 years from now. And the way you do that is you don't build up settlements right now in the West Bank, and you don't create this division where Palestinians, you don't seize their homes in Sheikh Jarrah.
I would agree with that. And I think a lot of Israelis do too.
Not enough to elect.
Well, because again, I mean, first of all, the two-state solution has been on the table a number of times. There could be a Arab capital in East Jerusalem now if Yasser Arafat had accepted that in 2003. He did not. I mean, they have rejected this and went to war time and time again. And, you know, as far as Gaza goes, it's amazing to me that the progressives think that they're being progressive by taking that side of it, the Bella Hadids of the world, these influencers. I just want to say, in February of this year, a Hamas court ruled that an unmarried woman cannot travel in Gaza without the permission of a male guardian. Really? That's where the progressives are. Bella Hadid and her friends would run screaming to Tel Aviv if they had to live in Gaza for one day.
Right. But, I mean, I've been to Gaza any number of times, and ordinary Gazans complain about Hamas all the time. I did not perceive Bella Hadid as defending Hamas. I saw her as speaking up for, you know, the 67 kids in Gaza who were killed.
Well, she's from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, is I think what she chanted with people. That is a PLO slogan that means Israel from the river to the sea, is that there will be no more Israel.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was calling out Bella Hadid. I had to look her up. I guess she's like a model, an Instagram model.
Yeah, I will note that, you know, when people are like, oh, like, you know, these women aren't able to travel or, you know, and stuff like that, I always kind of dismiss that, because when oil is in the way, we're perfectly happy to let those chicks rot. So, I mean, as being selectively outraged by, you know, I mean, it just, I think maybe I'm just getting older, and I've seen these arguments before, and when they get trotted out and when they are, you know, conveniently ignored, and it, you know, it doesn't have the same hold on me anymore. I'm numb to it.
Well, this final clip is short, but this is for a little comic relief. Bill Maher realizes that he's been ignoring the other person at the table, and asks him if he wants to get in on it.
You want to say something about this?
Well, I was kind of glad to listen, because do I want to step on a landmine? No, not really.
You like being purple?
God, yes. He went on. Voice. Yeah, he went on for another minute or so, and I had to cut that shit off. I wasn't listening to all that. The Raging Cajun, he's lost his... He might have been endearing back when he was more coherent, but I can't stand him. I can't... he's hard to listen to now. The Raging Cajun. Can't go on TV without wearing an LSU-branded something or other.
Hey, he reps his people.
I guess so, man.
Yeah.
So I had those. I had those clips. I'd put those together back. I think I put those together back before I even left for vacation. And that's, I don't have any more clips. I'm sorry, people. Anyway, let's see. What's the big thing that's been on your mind? Since we last spoke, Joe, what's like the big thing you really want to get off your chest?
Is this a setup?
No. This is just so people know. I don't want to have like a bunch of inside jokes or whatever. I'm not feeling well tonight, people. So, if it seems like I'm kind of rushing us through this show, it's because I kind of am. This is going to be an abbreviated.
You know that Brian is committed to the cause, because, you know, he's literally been writhing in pain. But I'm like, Brian, I mean, we don't have to do the show today. Just go get some medical attention. He's like, no, Joe, we have to do this. We have to be there for our audience and show.
I couldn't leave you guys for 2 weeks straight. So.
I mean, Brian, am I joking?
You gave me the out. But I felt like we should. What was I going to do? I mean, I was just going to probably go lay down and feel like crap. So,
might as well be on the show and feel like crap.
Yeah,
my man.
I don't have like a headache or anything, so I'm able to think straight. Yeah. If there's one thing I hate, a headache, man. So,
yeah, that shuts it down.
Yeah, but we're good. But I am going to, because I'm going to have to edit the show and everything. So, yeah, I'm kind of rushing us through this show. So, and my show notes are empty. So, I'm really going to be relying on Joe a lot for this show.
But once again, you always say that.
Well, yeah, I know.
So, but I'm glad you asked.
What are we going to talk about, Joe? So, inspire me.
Yes. Are you familiar with the for the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre in 1921.
Okay, no, but I've seen this mentioned somewhere, so enlighten me. Tell me, what, bring me up to speed on what I need to know here.
Let me make sure I do this justice, okay?
Yeah.
Let's see here. And right now we are using an impeccable and a source that is totally beyond reproach. And that is Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, I knew it.
And yeah, just stay with me now. The Tulsa Race Riot Massacre took place on May 31st and June 1st, 1921, when mobs of white residents, many of them deputized and given weapons by city officials, attacked black residents and destroyed homes and businesses in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Alternatively known as a race riot, the Black Wall Street Massacre, the event is among the single worst incidents of racial violence in American history. The attacks carried out on the ground and from private aircraft burned and destroyed more than 35 square blocks of a neighborhood. At the time, the wealthiest black community in the United States, known as Black Wall Street. And so, more than 800 people were admitted to hospitals, and as many of 6,000 black residents were interned into large facilities, many of them for several days. The Oklahoma Bureau of Vital Statistics recorded 36 dead. A 2001 state commission examined the events and was able to confirm 39 dead, 26 black, 13 white, based on the contemporary autopsy reports, death certificates, and other records. The commission gave several estimates of 75 to 300 dead. All right. How it started. The massacre began on Memorial Day weekend after a 19-year-old Dick Rowland, a black shoeshiner, was accused of assaulting Sarah Page, a 17-year-old white elevator operator of the nearby Drexel building. He was taken into custody. And after arrest, rumors spread through the city that Rowland was about to be lynched. Upon hearing the reports, was about to be lynched. Upon hearing reports that a mob of hundreds of white men had gathered around the jail where Rowland had been kept, a group of 75 black men, some of whom were armed, arrived at the jail in order to ensure Rowland would not be lynched. Sheriff persuaded the group to leave the jail, assuring them that the situation was under control. A shot was fired. Then the report stated that all hell broke loose. So that's just the high level of it.
Damn.
Yeah. And apparently this past weekend was the 100-year anniversary, 1921.
Oh, I should have put that together. Yeah, 21. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I hate to say that I've been hearing about this all week, but I just put it together myself. A little slow.
Okay. Yeah.
But earlier this week, Mr. Biden, the President of the United States, went down there and commemorated the race massacre. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure that you were never taught this in high school in your history class.
No, I'd never heard that. No.
Yeah, and this was something that I think the very first time I heard about it was probably 5 years ago.
Wow.
But even then it was something that wholesale went missing from history books. And the crazy thing is that I get the feeling that if we're honest with ourselves and we do a little bit more research, we find that this type of race riot / race massacre was probably not all that uncommon a thing. I don't think this was, something that was, unheard of. I think it was a quasi regular occurrence or a fact of life in that time of the country, as evidenced by another very euphemistic term you probably heard of, called the Great Migration. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Really? Well,
I don't know what it means though. I mean, I've heard it, but I never. Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Great Migration refers to a time period from roughly between 1917 and 1977, whereby, like 12 million African Americans moved from basically the South into basically the North in search of jobs and stuff like that. Well, in search of jobs and to run and flee from basically lynching going awry. Let me
did you say, what were those dates? Did you say 70 to 77?
1917 to approximately 1977. I'm going to pull this up. And you'll forgive me that my numbers were a little bit off. Let me go back to it. Once again, the impeccable source, Wikipedia. The Great Migration, known as the Great Northern Migration of Black Migration, was a movement of approximately 6 million African Americans out of the rural southern United States into the urban north, northeast, Midwest, and West that occurred between 1916 and 1970. I was off by a few years on either side. It was caused primarily by poor economic conditions as well as prevalent racial segregation and discrimination in southern states where Jim Crow was upheld. The historic change brought by the migration was amplified because the migrants, for the most part, moved to the then largest cities in the United States: New York, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Washington, D.C. At the time, those cities had a central cultural and political economic influence of the United States. The African Americans established influential communities of their own. Let me just go to the, what it says, the causes. Primary causes for the migration amongst Southern African Americans were segregation, and increased spread of racist ideology, widespread lynching, as many 3,500 African Americans were lynched between 1882 and 1968, and lack of social and economic opportunities in the South. There are also factors that pulled migrants to the North, such as labor shortages in the North, in Northern factories brought on by World War I, resulting in thousands of jobs in steel mills, railroads, meatpacking, blah, blah, blah. So, So it's funny because we hear it here referred to as a great migration. I think if you were to apply a slightly different, a little bit more rigorous review of it, you might say that it was basically a large refugee situation.
I call it the Great Escape.
Yeah, Great Escape. Yeah, that works as well. But it's funny how, you know, I've learned this in terms of the Great Migration. That, you know, that sounds like a great adventure, but Great Escape is probably more apt.
Yeah, the Great Escape. I feel like that's the name of a movie or something.
It is. I think it's a. Doesn't it have Robert Redford in it?
Great Escape. Sounds. I can either confirm or deny that, but it sounds like it might.
You know, if only there was a mechanism by which we can call up information that wasn't presently in our head.
I wonder. That would be super nice.
It would be.
Escape.
Thankfully, we live in 2021 and such a technology does exist. And I got the actor totally wrong. Not Robert Redford, it's Steve McQueen, James Garner, Richard Attenborough, Charles Bronson. Wow.
I think to our credit, because we aren't really. I would easily mix up Steve McQueen and Robert? Yeah, I don't know. What it does, Charles Bronson does surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Good question. Was Charles Bronson white?
I think he was probably white with
Native American.
Yeah, I think he. I'm looking at him here. He's a mix between Native American and white. I loved his his vigilante movies there during the 70s.
I remember watching some of those vigilante movies when I was a kid.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Talk about, you know what? His was Death Wish, right? His movies were Death Wish.
There's like two or three of those, right?
Yeah, and Clint Eastwood's was Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry.
But to watch those today, I mean, it's almost comical how politically incorrect they were back then.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, I think America in the 60s and 70s was probably a lot more free-wielding in terms of people being able to communicate in ways that weren't, you know, censored or corporatized.
Mm-hmm.
So even back then, even corporate media wasn't as corporatized as it is now. So some of the things you saw Dirty Harry doing, like torturing suspects, you wouldn't see.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember. I remember one of the Dirty Harry movies. He shot somebody. And the guy's like, "Oh, I'm laid out," and he's like, Dirty Harry standing over him with his huge gun and stepping on the leg he just shot him in. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you're right.
Dirty Harry was dirty. And the other thing was that Clint Eastwood was a strikingly handsome guy. It's like, damn.
Oh, yeah, he was ridiculously good-looking guy back in his prime, yeah.
Now he's just, like, really, really old and close to death.
I'd kill to have the jawline he had back in the day, man.
Well, you
cut yourself on that thing, man.
Huh?
I said you cut yourself on it. It was so sharp.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's amazing. He didn't come down with some social disease.
Yeah. Those are interesting stories, and I'm almost positive that I never heard about that in high school.
What of the
either of them? I don't think.
Well, yeah, I know I didn't hear about them in high school, and I know they weren't even in the history books. Mm. And that's the crazy part. Like, this was something you would have had to go to college for, and before the internet. I mean, how do you know to look for, like, you know, I was able to get, you know, to just type in, like, you know, race massacre or Tulsa riot. And, you know, within seconds, I had, you know, pretty good estimate of what happened there. But 30, 40 years ago, no idea. Would never have had an idea of where to look. Sure.
Well, a little bit of history for us tonight, man.
Yeah, yeah. And what's coming out of it is, you know, there have been some calls for some type of reparations for the people who and in fact, the oldest surviving victim of that race riot actually came to I think they went up to Congress and testified on the matter. And so you realize how close, like, things that you think that happened hundreds of years ago or a long, long, long time ago, we're still in living memory of.
Hmm. Did that happen recently, the testimony?
It happened either, you know, the weekend before or the weekend after Memorial Day. I remember seeing the person that, yeah, this happened within a week ago.
Okay.
So. Mm. Look at us going through dealing with all the tough issues. You know, I mean, we started off the show talking about the
Israel-Palestine conflict.
Yeah, we didn't start off that with that. We started off with the LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah.
QAAPI plus people.
Right.
So then, yes. then, that wasn't thorny enough for us. And then we had to, you know, we had to go, you know, go in, and then we went into the Jews and the Arabs.
Yeah. So yeah, man, it's been a heavy hitting show so far. Let's take a break.
Okay.
We come back. When we come back, I have maybe a little topic that I can talk on. And then we can bust out a skullduggerish shenanigan story. And we'll get out of here. Let me go pop some more Advil and lay down. But I did occur to me something that I can speak on when we get back. So yeah, everybody, refresh the drinks, the bowls, use the restroom, whatever you got to do. And what did Chuck Wooler used to say? We'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail or something like that. He just go 2-2? We'll be back in 2-2. Maybe he just did that. We'll be back in 2-2.
Did you know that he's a really, really big conservative?
No. Yeah. But that would be another great dead or alive person. Is he dead or is he alive? I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd say he's passed on.
I think he's alive.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
The only reason I say I think he's alive because I haven't heard of – I mean – I haven't heard him that he's dead. Maybe we should figure that out on the other end of the show.
Yeah, when we come back,
yeah,
we will reveal. So people listening, don't look it up. Put your vote in or your guess in, and when we get back, we will reveal. All right, talk to you in a few.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Souvenir Snow Globe Maker.
Mr. Souvenir Snow Globe Maker.
Scoffing at Mother Nature, you bring snowy wonderment to miniature Mauis, tiny Tampas, and itty-bitty Bahamas.
It's a small, small world.
Sure, Rome wasn't built in a day, but mini Snow Globe Rome was. Today's forecast for mini Rio de Janeiro, massive flooding, followed by snow.
Can't stop it now.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, champion of the Chotsky, because you make everyone's world a little smaller and a whole lot snowier.
Mr. Souvenir Snow Globe Man.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And we're back. Hope everybody got squared away. All you people out there who agreed with me and thought that Chuck Woolery had passed on, well, I hate to tell you that we're all wrong. He's still alive and alive and kicking at 80 years old. He's from Ashland, Kentucky, which it's like 2.5 hours from me, but. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
I want to remember the last time he you know, Ashland, Kentucky saw him.
I don't know. Hell, his education, it says here, he went to Moorhead. That's, yeah, it looks like all of his education is in Kentucky.
Hmm. Hey, Kentucky's full of good people.
Yeah.
And they got some not so great people. Mitch McConnell, Brian Newman.
I plan on leaving willingly. I don't know what we're going to do to get Mitch out of here.
Mitch is Kentucky, and Kentucky is Mitch.
Well, you know, that hurts to hear, but I think that's pretty damn accurate.
we should have a section of the show called Hard Truths.
Yeah, he's only 1 year, but he's only 1 year behind Chuck, 79. But he ain't from Kentucky. He's from Sheffield, Alabama.
He looks pretty good for a 79-year-old man.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I would have never given him, you know. I'm sure that he probably eats babies.
I told you, he made that Faustian deal.
Yeah, yeah. once again, he needs to go on the list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's on the list. For sure. For sure. So there was another story that I seen this week about JB something or other. Supposedly, I guess it's like America's biggest. Yeah. Okay. Got hit by another ransomware attack. And I don't know the resolution, whether they paid or what. Like, I know that the oil pipeline people, they paid like $7 million, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about the meat packing plant. But what I want to touch on, and you know, we can even consider this like a, instead of me just having a big tech show, I think I might just break it up into like little tech bites, and I'd even call it bites like BYTES, so yeah. I can be like really clever and use a computer terminology in the name.
Someone's being witty.
Yeah, little tech bites. But here's this is something that I wanna talk about, and I would say. Maybe make this a prediction.
Before you do that, really quickly, Mom wants you to answer a question, and I think I sent it your way. It should be in the stack of stuff I sent you. But just so you know, but please continue.
Yeah, I'll we'll get back to that. I'm looking, and I. Oh, maybe that. Oh,
I mean, I understand that you were gallivanting around the country, and you forgot about the little people. I did that.
Was this the article you forwarded me? Oh yeah, it was from Joan Brand. It was from Joan.
Yeah.
And you forwarded it and explained this. So, oh.
But okay. that could be one of your bites.
Yeah, I'm. Okay, let me get through this, and then I think I read this article on my own, maybe.
Okay.
But this is an interesting. Yeah, that could definitely be its own thing too, because that's pretty interesting as well. All I was going to talk about, all I really wanted to say was, I think we are. I can't remember who said it, but it was never let a good.
Crisis go to waste.
Yeah, a good crisis go to waste.
The last person for whom I know that was attributed to was, the chief of staff for Rahm Emanuel.
Okay.
But I know he wasn't the person who originated it. That's one of those things that probably goes back in time immemorial.
True. Examples, 9/11, while I don't think it was an inside job or anything like that, they sure used it.
Yeah, they took advantage.
They took advantage of it, and really, and we're still, people are still feeling the effects of the Patriot Act and all that kind of stuff.
And with that, the whole use of authorization for use of force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's still in effect. Basically, hey, you know, if we think that they were in any way connected with Al-Qaeda, we can go to war.
They can skip the Congress, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, go get them. And that's crazy to me. But I'm getting off track.
Way too much power for a president to have.
Hey, no. It will be noted that Mr. Trump did not use that war making ability.
To his credit, you know, he wasn't 100% horrible. I mean, he done some good things, I think. Well,
it's more like what he didn't do.
I like that, what he didn't do. Okay, so anyway, so what I'm afraid, what I foresee they're going to, in their attempts to stop cyber attacks, I see a future where your average citizens are no longer going to be able to have access to things like computers or certain technologies like compilers and things that let people like me write software, because that's all where the problem originates from. And now when I say that, you know, I know that your initial reaction is, yeah, of course we're always going to be able to buy computers, and yes, that's true, but those computers are going to be
neutered.
They're going to be locked down in such a way that you can only do approved things with them, much like today's iPhones or iPads and things like that. They're just, you can't, I don't know. I don't delve into it a lot, but I've not heard of anyone ever jailbreaking a iPhone and putting another operating system on it.
I think I've heard of people doing it, but it's one of those things that once you do it, you better keep that a secret.
That's probably a good point. Not probably, that is a good point.
Other really quick point. Mm-hmm. What's a compiler?
It's what lets you take I write source code, and a compiler just takes the source code and turns it into machine code that computers can execute. So you know how like you download exe files from the internet and install them.
My understanding is it takes the computer language and changes that to binary ones and zeros.
That's good. But it would, I foresee a future where that, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, I could remember whenever I would try to download Oracle software, because that software had encryption technology in it, I remember I had to like click through warnings or almost like end user license agreements that said that I was, you know, that I was not going to use this software outside of the United States, stuff like that, because they was, you know, encryption was, I guess there was laws about exporting encryption outside the country back then. But so I can see them saying, you know, people like me, not me specifically, but people who have free access to computers and have, you know, access to the software they're the ones that create this ransomware and all this other stuff. So I can see them overreacting and trying to, now I don't know if it'll ever be successful, but I do predict that there's going to be an attempt to really, really clamp down on the citizenry's access to computers.
I don't think they're going to do clamp down the access to computers, but I think they're going to probably just rely on something that they've probably already done, and that is just make sure that there is some back door that, you know, NSA, CIA, and whoever the powers that be deem make that nothing's a secret anymore, so that every box that goes out there is going to have some identifiable marker. So you can track where it came from and where it went. So I think that would probably accomplish the same goals.
Well, the only issue with that is that I can like go and that there's even right now there's a technology, I'm sure it's a Microsoft technology called Secure Boot that like when you turn on your computer, it does like a checksum of your machine and make sure that everything is on the up and up before it will load. And I know that right now I can go into the BIOS of the computer and disable that, and I have to do that in order to install my Linux operating system on the computers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can take my computers and I can update the firmware with an open source firmware, and I can put an open source operating system on it, and I can avoid those backdoor loopholes. But people who just, if they're content to buy a computer, a Mac or a Windows, and they just use it as is, then yeah, there's no doubt that those machines are compromised. They're compromised today, I'm sure.
And I would not be surprised if the software that you think is safe, with enough, I guess brute force or whatever, with enough tinkering, they can access it.
It wasn't Buffett on a string.
I think we got dead air.
I'm sorry. I know. Yeah, I was trying to. I was hoping I could just scan through this article real quick and talk intelligently about it. But I think I'm going to have to push this to next week. But if I'm recalling correctly, I think it's about the responsibility of companies. Because there's a bunch of this seems to be talking about a company called Bitdefender, I think. And if that's like an antivirus, I don't know. It's just like the ethics of companies to, if they find flaws in like systems, technologies, and whatever, it's like they're, what's their responsibility to, do they announce it? Do they just immediately announce it and then let the bad guys who might be exploiting that make changes so that they don't get caught? Or do they contact the vendor of the compromised software and let them know and give them time to patch it up, stuff like that? I think that's what this article's about, but I need to. I could be completely wrong too.
Well, it seems to me that the American answer would be to find some way to profit.
No, the thing is like, Google really has kind of, and of course I no longer trust Google as far as I could throw them, but they seemingly take stuff like this. I mean, they have groups dedicated to finding exploits, and I think their process is to, they'll reach out, it's like if they find an exploit in Windows 10, they will reach out to Microsoft and say and show it to them and give them time, give them an appropriate amount of time to fix it and get the patched software back out to the people. Mm-hmm. before they announce it. But like if they was to contact someone, Microsoft is more responsible about that. But if they was to maybe contact some other smaller vendor and say we found this exploit in your software, and they just ignore them, Google will eventually publish the exploit, and that will cause trouble.
Okay. So, sounds fair to me.
I'm going to read this article off air, and because it's pretty lengthy, so it'd be a lot of dead air if I just read it now.
Can't have that.
You know what? I got a kid. I did pull this skullduggery story. This is from you. You did send this, and I did pull this one down. You mind if I go through this one? It's about the New Jersey mom.
Sure.
Yeah. Because
New Jersey mom.
When I first read the headline, I thought, well, she's a bitch. But then when I, but if reading through here, man, I think she's more than that.
Yeah, I don't even recall the story I sent you. Please refresh my memory.
Okay. Headline from Yahoo News, or I guess it's from the Daily Beast. Mom, excuse me. Mom allegedly killed son for thwarting her affair. Now she's accused in a murder for hire plot.
Oh yeah, I do remember sending you that.
Yeah,
it seems so long ago.
But now when I read that, I read it and I seen my son, I was like, you know, I was thinking a teenager or whatever, you know, got in her lover's face and was causing trouble or whatever, but
No.
A New Jersey mom awaiting trial for murdering her infant son because he was getting in the way of her affair has been hit with new charges, this time for allegedly conspiring with her boyfriend in a murder-for-hire plot.
Damn, she was crazy.
Damn, yeah. Heather Reynolds, 43, and boyfriend, 44-year-old Jeffrey Callahan, were charged this week with first-degree conspiracy to commit murder, the Camden County Prosecutor's Office said Wednesday. Reynolds was already being held at Camden County Jail on a slew of charges, including murder and endangering the welfare of a child, in connection to the May 10th, 2018 death of her 17-month-old son, Axel Reynolds. During the investigation into Axel's death, detectives uncovered evidence that Reynolds and Callahan were allegedly conspiring to have another individual killed, prosecutors said in a news release announcing the charges. Details of the murder-for-hire scheme have not been released. In 2018, officers responded to Gloucester Township after reports of an unresponsive child on a lawn. Prosecutors alleged that 17-month-old had bruises around his mouth, nose, and Reynolds told EMT she believed he may have accidentally ingested something poisonous. He was pronounced dead at the scene. I don't need to read on about this, but that's just evil. I mean, that's evil.
Yeah, that's there's a reason we have this section of the show. It's
there's lighthearted skullduggery, and then there's this.
Dark. Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Oh, God.
Sorry, peoples.
I need to go shower or go do a confession or something like that after.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, Joe, we're clocking in at 1 hour 13 minutes, and I'm going to say that's going to bring us to the end of this show.
It's amazing that it's only about 15, about 18 minutes. Sorry, what? 17 minutes shorter than what I know. Well, what our target show won't do.
Yeah, we need to just give up the whole notion that we're going to be able to crank out a short show
in an hour.
So anyway, you doing other than I know you're always being awesome and you're always being awesome and stuff. But any besides being awesome, you doing anything this weekend?
I hope to be able to get out and enjoy the weather. It seemed as if the weather that you have over there just showed up over here, and
bad news for you. I got some bad news for you, homie.
What's that?
Yesterday and today it's just been thunderstorms like all day long, and I was watching the weather this morning, and the little radar thing shows all the rain masses being pushed up your direction, man. So sorry about that.
So the weekend is preemptively screwed.
Well, weathermen are notorious for being wrong, but I'm hoping the best for you, man.
Well, hey, here's the hope.
Yeah, my brother's birthday is this weekend, and we are meeting. He wants us to all meet at the Cheesecake Factory for dinner Sunday. So that's really the only thing that I have on my agenda right now.
Cheesecake Factory is good stuff. Don't sleep on it.
Yeah, I haven't been there forever, but
now that I found out that it's going to be raining all weekend.
Don't take my word for it. Do your own research, but no, that's no. just what I that's what I that's how I interpreted the weather maps this morning.
No. Like, you know my rule. Like, you know, the weather you get there today, I get like in a day or so. So I mean, it sounds about right. So, you know.
Well, damn it. Anyway, people, I hope that you all have a great weekend, and join us here next week where Joe and I will continue our never-ending quest to say, not to save the world, but to solve the world's problems, and maybe save it in the process.
Yeah, I mean, solving the world's problems, we save the place.
One or more drinks at a time. Take care.
Have a little more. Bye-bye.
Killing the game, about to catch a body. Pass the heartbeat, Dookie on the Ducati. Timberland, Khaled, Scott Storch, Birdman. Goddamn, man, everybody got Bugattis. But I'ma keep it hella 1987. Head into the dealership and drop a stack and cop a Kawasaki. I'm stunning on everybody. Hella raw, pesto, wasabi. I'm so low that my scrotum's almost dragging up on the concrete. My seat is leather. I ride a line, it's pleather. But girl, we can still ride together. You don't need an Uber. You don't need a cab. Fuck a bus pass. You got a moped, man. She got 1988 Mariah Carey hair. Very rare. Mom jeans on her dairy. Throwing up the west side as we tear in the air. Stop by Pipe Place, throwing fish to a plate.
Downtown, 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 downtown. She has her arms around your waist. You're the balance that will keep her safe.
It's me, the M, the A, C, the K. Sounded like a French pimp from back in the day. I take her to Ponderay and I watch her skate. I mean water ski, Ollie Ollie oxen free. I'm perusing down fourth and they watching me. I do a headstand and eagle lands on my seat. Well, hello, but baby, the kickstand ain't free. Now do you or do you not wanna ride with me? I got one girl, I got two wheels. She a big girl, that ain't a big deal. I like a big girl, I like them sassy. Going down a back street, listening to Black Street. Running around the whole town. Neighbors yelling at me like you need to slow down. Going 38, Dan, chill the fuck out. Mow your damn lawn and sit the hell down. If I only had one helmet, I would give it to you. Give it to you. Cruising down Broadway, girl, what a wonderful view. Wonderful view. There's layers to the shit, player. Tiramisu, tiramisu. Let my coattail drag, but I ain't tearing my suit. Tearing my suit.